Hi, I'm Brian Grant, and you're listening to On Time, the Brian Grant Foundation podcast about living with Parkinson's. If you want to know more about Brian Grant Foundation, go to briangrant.org.
Hi, this is Katrina Call, Executive Director of the Brian Grant Foundation. Thank you for listening to our podcast, which is one of our many programs to help empower people impacted by Parkinson's disease to lead active and fulfilling lives. Our programs are possible because of the generous support of our donors. Please consider helping us continue this work by making a donation at briangrant.org. Thanks again for listening.
Hi there. Welcome back to On Time, the Brian Grant Foundation podcast. I'm your host, Larry Gifford, president of PD Avengers. Today, we're embarking on a crucial conversation. Our focus is stigma and Parkinson's. And we're not just navigating this terrain alone. Joining us all the way from Nairobi, Kenya, is Nduta Mabori, a bright and passionate advocate representing the younger generation. And it's time to dial in and listen, spread awareness, and spark change. So let's go. When did you start seeing the symptoms, and how long did it take for you to get diagnosed?
So the first time we noticed, I was in high school, actually. We'd gone on a school trip, and we'd gone rock climbing, and I got to the top of the rock, and I just started shaking like a leaf. It was uncontrollable. And my teacher was like, oh my God, get down, you're going to fall off. I'm going to tell your dad you've been drinking booze. Why are you shaking so much? It was really funny. It was pretty funny. My dad was a teacher in the school at the time as well. She was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. She panicked. But I didn't feel out of control or anything like that. So that's the first time we saw it. I was probably about 16 or 15. And then it went away. The shakes went away. So we didn't really pick it up until a couple of years later when I went to hospital, I think in 2013. And I tried to get tests done and nothing came up. They thought I had epilepsy. The tremors were so bad. Nothing came up. I did MRI scans, CT scans, the whole blood work, kidney work, all of that stuff. But if I think about it now, even when I was younger than that school trip, there were things I would feel that I couldn't put a finger on, but I knew that something wasn't right. Like if I got up really fast, there would be a sharp pain in my ankles, and I never really understood what that was. Or my motor reactions and reflexes wouldn't be as quick as I would like them to be, like on the sports field or anything like that. Because I was pretty sporty growing up. I think that really helped me as well. So it's been a journey. I've been in denial for a long part of my journey. I didn't want to come to terms with the fact that I was sick. Mm. That's a hard thing to come to terms with. And even to date, it's not something that I relate with. My mom was diagnosed with a myriad of problems when she was alive. And being sick just didn't seem like something that resonated with me. But I did get diagnosed in 2022.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a long time.
It's a really long time. Also, mainly because no doctors could think it was PD. PD is diagnosed from 50 upwards, maybe 60, maybe 70. So none of them were in the belief that it was Parkinson's. But I did get reviewed physically by a doctor here in Kenya. I got reviewed on video by a doctor in the States. He had the same conclusion. I got reviewed by doctors in India who wanted me to go have surgery. They came to the same conclusion. My Ayurvedic doctor came to the same conclusion. So, yeah.
Why did it take 14 years to get diagnosed, do you think?
I think largely because I'm so young. So most of the professionals that wasn't the first thing that was going to come to their mind. But over time, the symptoms have become more pronounced and they have been able to identify more and more symptoms that are aligned to Parkinson's than anything else. Because they had said initially essential tremor, they thought it was epilepsy, they thought a whole range of things that just weren't true, you know? So, yeah, it's been tough accepting this as well. I'm not going to lie about that. Coming to terms with the word sick or ill has been interesting. Yeah.
So what do you mean by interesting?
So my mom had lupus and diabetes when I was a child, and that really impacted me. Seeing her sick, and I was really young. I was probably 9 when she passed away. She was sick from when I was 3, so that's 6 years. And it just feels unbelievable that I'm facing the same fate, essentially. So for a long time, I would prefer to call it a condition, which I think it is, rather than to say that I'm sick.
And so what are some of the ways that Parkinson's has impacted your daily life?
Oh man, where to begin? Right now, I'm not employed. And that makes everything a bit more interesting or a bit more difficult. to navigate. I'm not able to be on my own a lot of the time. I mean, yeah, I do have my privacy, but I mean, I'm not as independent as I would have been in the past, as I was in the past. There always has to be somebody near me on call, just in case of anything. I'm not as free to roam around and do what I wanted to do, what I want to do. It's given a new angle on life for sure. One of the other things I would say is that it forced me to go inward really, really intensely, just trying to understand the condition and trying to understand my mindset and understand the basis of all of this. Has it helped me do a lot of inner work? And I'm so grateful for that, because a condition like this means that your mental health is going to be affected, you know, but I've been given the tools. I've managed to employ the tools that help me survive day to day. So I'm very, weirdly, I'm grateful to Parkinson's for that, because if it wasn't for the condition, I don't think I would have embarked on that journey.
What are some of the tools that you use every day?
Meditation, definitely. Meditation helps a lot. Just to calm you, reduce anxiety, reduce symptoms of depression. Gratitude is a tool that I use a lot. And just sort of the knowledge that whatever arises is going to pass. So if it's a really intense, uncomfortable, painful moment, I know that it's not going to last forever and I'll be okay in a few other moments. So that's really helpful as well.
And then are there any specific resources or support groups in Nairobi that you've been using that you've found helpful?
So I literally just joined the Parkinson support group in Kenya less than a month ago. There's a bit of pressure for family to get on medication because I'm not currently medicating. And I wanted like a firsthand experience from somebody who's gone through this, right? Because I didn't want to just dive in and figure it out for myself. So I was like, I went on Google and I was like, support group Parkinson's, and it showed up and I met the team and they're amazing. They are hosting a walk on the 13th of April to raise awareness in Nairobi. Good to have like-minded people. It's good to know that I'm the only one, you know?
It is good to know that, isn't it? It's especially early on. Like I know in my head, I kept going like, this is crazy. Maybe I don't have it, or what happens next? That's the big question, right? Yeah. Where do we go from here?
Precisely. Everything, life is uncertain enough as it is, but now this added layer of diagnosis on top of that is just something else.
So do you have any people in your life that have misperceived your actions based on your illness or on your condition? Treated you differently or anything like that?
I've been asked if I'm an alcoholic so many times, it's ridiculous. But it's funny because if I did have withdrawal, nobody would ever know because I shake already, lol. But like, sorry, a bit of dark humor. people thinking I'm feeling cold, especially, and I'm like, guys, it's 33 degrees, we're in Mombasa or whatever. Or like, if I'm going to collapse or if I need to eat or if I need a drink, and I, like, I'm coherent and I can be like, I'm okay, I don't need anything. But it is shocking. It is shocking to see, especially a young person. I feel like there's more acceptance with older generations with it. Yeah.
How do you stay so positive? And you talked about using gratitude as a tool. How do you do that?
Well, it's got its ups and downs, like everything in life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, but the tide comes in, the tide goes out. So when I'm able, I tend to ask myself, you know, what am I grateful for today? Or what is there to give thanks for? And to be honest, there's so much. There's so much. I may not be the steadiest I've ever been, but the sun is shining or the grass is green or, you know, there's love in my life and there's water in the taps and there's shelter over my head. It might sound really trivial, but just the little things make a world of difference. And when I'm feeling low, I talk about it. I lean on my support system. I call my brothers. I call my aunties. Call my grandma. Yeah, and we talk.
Have you had any difficulty accessing healthcare or medication since the diagnosis?
So I haven't medicated yet. I'm just trying to do my research and understand what my options are and what it might mean for me. Also knowing that consistency for the rest of my life is something that I need to take into consideration seriously, because I understand if you miss your meds, it's got a whole other angle. So access to healthcare. So since I'm not employed, I don't have health insurance at the moment. That makes it a bit interesting. But I haven't really tried to look out, you know, for Parkinson's meds. I've been doing a bit of research on how much they cost and stuff like that, but it really depends on the frequency of how often you're taking them and the grammage, the mg's. But from what I saw, I think a pack of Sinemet 100 at, I don't remember what mg's, was about 6,000 bob. Not sure what that comes to in dollars, 6,000 shillings. Okay. I think I saw 8,000 as well. But someone told me you can go up to like 45K a month, just depending on your needs as an individual.
Wow.
So, yeah, and that's without doctor's visits, because doctor's visits are a separate cost to that. And I understand that at the beginning of your journey, they'll probably put you on higher dosages more frequently.
Yeah, so that's like $61 USD, 8,000 shillings.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then my experience is they start you slow and they build up.
Oh, okay.
Because they don't want to give you too much. They don't want to over-medicate.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. They wouldn't want to over-medicate. Okay. So what they do is they use as little as possible. And then for me, I was up to 18 pills a day.
Wow.
I know. And then I had surgery in the fall.
Wow.
Deep brain stimulation. So they drilled holes into my head.
Yeah, you did DBS.
Yeah, it's great. Love it.
Scares me half to death. What are we going to do?
Yeah, right? What else can you do? It gets to a certain point, you do what you have to do.
Now, 100%.
What are some of the memorable experiences or milestones in your journey so far?
Accepting the diagnosis and recognizing that this is just something that I'm going to have to deal with for essentially the rest of my life has been very challenging on an individual level and also on a family level. Because what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm also very independent. I'm very stubborn in that way. And I think it's what's pushed me as far as I've gotten, to be honest. I don't know what non-independent life would be like, but it's something that I have to consider as well. So, yeah. What other milestones? This is going to sound really trivial, but I managed to see an Ayurvedic doctor and he fixed my stomach. And that has been the biggest gift.
How did you do that? What do you mean? What was wrong with your stomach?
So I had constipation, which is one of the... I had constipation, really low absorption, just a whole myriad of like digestive issues. I even thought I had irritable bowel syndrome at some point. But it turns out it was just complications related to the condition. So when I saw him, he put me like on a vegan diet for some time. And we did like a proper detox. And it just corrected my stomach. So every day I'm able to make a BM in the morning is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant day.
That's amazing. You know?
Yeah, that's with that medication. Poop. 100%. We joke about it, but it's very important.
It's so important. So important.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
Are there any activities or hobbies that you found helpful in managing your symptoms?
I would say at this point, meditation is kind of like a hobby because it's my go-to when I'm feeling a bit unsteady or anything like that. I like yoga as well when I'm able to, when my body and I are able to pull together and get a session out, we do that. Not sure it's a hobby, but it's an interest that I have. I realized that spending some time in the grass with my feet on the ground helps with even pain management for half an hour, 45 minutes a day. Uncanny. Like the benefits for me of doing that just blew my mind. Mom had been saying it for a while. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, just grounding and breath work as well is really helpful. I really like music. So I started an outfit with one of my partners and that's picking up and going really well. So that keeps me busy for sure. And people ask, because I'm always at the gate, they're like, what's going on? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just have a condition and I get all sorts of reactions. But it's good to be out. It's good to be busy. Yeah,
what kind of music?
I think that's what I would say. Drum and bass.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
You'll have to send me some.
Absolutely.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
you'll find this funny. One of the things I do for meditation, I play with Lego. And it helps my fine.
Oh, that's fun.
It helps my fine motor skills, too.
That's really fun, for sure. Yeah. For sure. So with the events that we do, we end up making some art sometimes, and that's really fun, like painting and sort of arts and crafts. That's really fun. I really enjoy that.
So you talked about going vegan. Are you still vegan? Or have there been any diet changes additional to that?
So I received a lot of conflicting information on my journey. there are practitioners who say vegan is best. There are other people who say, you know, you need protein and other things in your body. So no, currently I'm not vegan, but I don't enjoy my streak as a vegan. I might go back to it if my dietary requirements allow me. It just feels better. It's cleaner, better energy. But if I need protein from animals, I need protein from animals. It's just, that is just what it is. Because I lose weight very easily. Very, very, very easily. So.
I do not.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So when did you stop working?
In 2020, just after COVID was announced.
What were you doing?
I'm trained in marketing and advertising. So I was working for a digital research company. And it's sort of like a social media management firm as well. So it was actually my choice. They were really understanding and really like accommodating. And it wasn't as intense at that time. I could still type an email. I could still carry my stuff around and that sort of stuff. So I wasn't too badly off. But I just said, you know, guys, I need a bit of time to try and figure out what this is. So I need like 3 months and then I'll be back. Or, you know, we'll see how it goes. And then I didn't end up going back. So,
oh, because that was before your diagnosis.
Yeah, that was way before. That was actually what led to the ultimate diagnosis.
This is going to sound silly, but have you participated in any clinical trials or research studies so far?
I would love to, actually. I have not.
And what are your hopes and aspirations for the future right now?
To be 100% honest, and as delusional as this might sound, I'm hoping for a miracle. I'm hoping that one day I wake up and my brain has all the dopamine it needs and I'm fixed. And I'm able to run my life as I would as an individual, as a go-getter, as the person that I know that I am. For the future, I hope that Big Pharma stops hurting people and starts helping more than they are. You know? Yeah. I wish they were a bit more considerate about cost and impact and, you know, like side effects and all that sort of stuff. But hopefully we'll get better with time. My other hope is that there is milestones made in finding a cure, because this condition sucks. It really, 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 really sucks.
It does.
And I'm not comparing to anything else, but from where I'm standing or shaking, it sucks.
Where I'm shaking.
So, yeah.
you're great. How do you cope with the emotional parts of this?
I laugh. Well, when I need to cry, I cry, but most of the time, I try to make jokes. I try to make it humorous. I try to laugh about it. I try to make it less serious than it is. Because there's a time that I couldn't laugh about it. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the growth as well. Yeah, let's make jokes.
Share with me just like 3 things that you do on a bad day to make yourself better.
I breathe through the discomfort. I breathe through the pain. I will probably reach out for some CBD oil just to override the discomfort. And I will probably meditate or nap if it's possible to nap.
Are there any cultural or societal factors in Nairobi that have affected your experience?
I wouldn't say on a personal level, but I do understand that there's people who think you've been bewitched or something along those lines, that you did something to offend the powers that be. I don't know. But no, I haven't experienced that in my life.
How do you prioritize your self-care and your mental well-being?
I feel like I'm very protective of that because I know that without that, I don't have much left or much else. So I cancel dates or whatever I need to do. If I'm not feeling up for it, I will be like, no, I'm sorry, not today. I'm not feeling up for it. I say no a lot. I create boundaries. And I just put myself first a lot of the time, even if it means canceling.
And so how does that impact your social life?
More often than not, if you're not going to come and see me, then it's a tough call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you stay informed about the latest developments in Parkinson's?
I tend to do my research once in a while. I'm not so up to the latest developments. I feel like if I need to know about it, it'll find me, to be honest. Okay. So, yeah, because I don't want to oversaturate as well with information.
Do you do any intensive exercise?
Not really. Mostly yoga. Mostly yoga.
Oh, what role does spirituality or faith play in your disease management?
Interesting question. So I was raised Catholic, but I stopped practicing because I realized that it was more detrimental to my well-being than otherwise. And that's a very personal thing. I'm not trying to attack anybody or say that, you know, they're wrong. It just wasn't working for me. So I did end up going a bit Eastern. And in that journey, I realized that this is a journey that my soul has chosen for this life and that I didn't do anything wrong. This is not a punishment. And yeah, just to take it lighter and less seriously and to know that whatever arises passes away. So same way, we'll be here for a short time. We will pass away. Just make the most of what you have. That's all.
Lovely.
Thank you.
How do you maintain, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but how do you maintain that sense of independence and autonomy while living with Parkinson's?
I'm just very stubborn. Like right now, I'm by myself in the house. Everybody's left.
Who do you live with?
I have help that comes weekly, and I have one of my partners is around quite a bit. One of my partners for that one of the outfits that we work on is around quite a bit. So that helps as well.
Do you get lots of fatigue?
Yes. Yes. Actually, one of my friends from uni, we hadn't talked in a while. And when we did, she was like, so how are you? I was like, I'm so tired. And she's like, you know, you've been saying you're tired for years now. And I was like, oh my goodness, that may be true. But yeah, tiredness has been a factor in my life for a while.
Let's envision the future of Parkinson's care and support in Nairobi. What do people need there?
Oh man, I just recently found out that the National Council for People Living with Disabilities just recently recognized Parkinson's as a disability. So I understand that they can give you free physiotherapy, you know, discounts on walking aids and all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure if they have an impact on medication yet. I don't think we have the numbers for that. I understand you can also be eligible for tax exemption, which is helpful, up to a certain amount yearly. But I mean, if we could get government aid, I think would be the easiest. Because it's very tough to make a living with this condition. Yeah.
I hear you. That's everywhere. Is there anything that your friends and family could do differently that would help you?
Without sounding crass, just give me money, guys.
Give me money.
Finance my life. Yes, please. Because that's the only way I'm going to maintain independence. Because right. If that's not the case, yeah.
What is your sense of purpose?
I feel like Parkinson's has forced me to be a lot more grateful than I would have anything else. If I'm able to get up in the morning and have a shower without having to sit down, it's a good day. You know, it's a good day. If I'm able to get through the day without too much pain, it's a good day. If I'm able, I feel like it's made me double down on the little things, the simple things, the things that really matter more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like I'm honestly more fulfilled than I was before.
Oh, that's great. What message do you want to share with others who may be living with Parkinson's or supporting someone who is?
I guess it would just be not to lose hope. It does get tough. It does get dark. But just to understand that everything passes, everything will fade away. And for the people who have the condition, don't be so hard on yourself. Just love yourself, appreciate yourself, accept your condition, accept yourself, accept where you are. And let's laugh. Let's laugh. Let's laugh through life. The only way it feels good.
I want to thank you for being so honest and open. And I want you to know that your attitude will take you far.
Thank you.
I mean, seriously, so many people don't have what you have. That's a gift. It really is.
It's been a lot of work, but I'm grateful for the outcome. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't easy to get to where I am. But grateful for everything. Grateful for all the down times. Grateful for all the up times. And I hope I'm able to maintain this because it does get dark.
Please join us next time for our final episode, season 5. I'll speak to Brian Grant to get his perspective on stigma.
The Brian Grant Foundation empowers people impacted by Parkinson's to lead active and fulfilling lives. Help support our efforts at briangrant.org. A special thank you to Raphael Sadiq for providing the music for this podcast. This podcast is produced by Brian Griggs. Learn more at GriggsProductions.com.